Am Freitagabend sind die Headliner. Jetzt hier bei mir, James aus Manchester. Tim, thanks for being here. Great that you're here back, because you played here 1990, so you're the first band headlining twice. That's at least what you told me.
You ruined that. You didn't have to add that last bit. You set me up.
Okay. No, I didn't.
No, we've been told that we were the only band that's headlined it twice, and it's their 30th anniversary, and it's our 30th anniversary as a band. So it may be that, you know, something stupidly numerical like that. That's the only reason.
Okay. Also es gibt die Band James seit 30 Jahren. Es gibt das Haldern Pop Festival seit 30 Jahren. Und 1990 waren sie schon mal hier als Headliner und sind die erste Band, die schon einmal als Headliner da waren und jetzt wiederkommen durften. Das ist auf jeden Fall einzigartig, sagt zumindest Tim.
So, I tried. Stupidly numerical.
No, not at all. I tried to make it as best as possible, but not that easy. What does it feel like for you coming back when you really also think about being here in 1990, which was a completely different time also for you in the band, and now being here back again?
It's a fantastic festival. We enjoyed it last time we came, and it's lovely to be back. It's one of those smashing, fantastic little festivals that you come across sometimes that are kind of outside the norm, that you kind of have to find. And it's got a lovely feel, it really is. Don't really know what to expect when we go out there and play. We don't know which songs people know. So it's going to be a little bit of a kind of voyage of discovery for us tonight.
You saw us standing over there arguing about the set list. Because we're trying to go, what do these people want? Because the music here is quite mellow. And we don't know whether to come out and fire an attack or whether to come out very mellow, and because we change it every day, and we try and feel what the place is like and write a set that suits the environment and the people and ourselves. And last night we did a beautiful concert in Austria, and it was so heartfelt, and we go, we can't do that here. It's a different thing, you know. There's going to be more people. They need a bit more fire, maybe.
But do you also change the set list while you're playing, because you feel that there is a different energy?
Absolutely. We change the set list while we're playing. We put songs in brackets, okay. In parentheses, and then we come to it and we kind of feel what everyone's feeling. And last night, Saul started playing a song that wasn't on the set list, and we just went with it. And he was right. You know, it was, we just trust our intuition.
Um das ganz kurz zusammenzufassen, es ist ein besonderes Festival, deshalb kommen sie halt gerne wieder hierher zurück. Und sie waren gerade eben hier vorne am Bandbus und haben sich überlegt, welche Songs spielen sie, also wie bauen sie ihre Setlist auf. Und gestern Abend haben sie in Österreich gespielt und haben da ein wunderschönes Konzert gespielt und es ging halt sehr ans Herz. Und sind sich gar nicht so sicher, was spielen sie jetzt heute Abend, aber sie ändern dann auch während des Konzerts noch die Setlist und gehen natürlich auch auf das Publikum drauf ein. So what did you decide right now, what kind of songs you're going to play?
We wrote a set list, and I think we decided at the end we were going to tear it up and start again.
Yeah, it was kind of based on last night's set list, and we don't think that's going to be right for us and for the crowd, so we don't really know yet. So I think Saul is working on it at the moment, but we don't know. This usually happens, and sometimes it gets quite heated, sometimes we argue about it, and that's just the way it is. It's very important to us to get that right, you know, and not to be rigid with it. And as Tim was saying, to do what we feel is best for us and for the crowd. And that's quite difficult to get, you know. It's not always a mental process. And it can change, as Tim was saying, sometimes when we're on stage, you know.
Also sie wissen es noch immer nicht ganz genau. Gerade eben wird jetzt noch an der Setlist gearbeitet. Sie haben jetzt angefangen, eigentlich es nach gestern Abend etwas auszurichten und versuchen dann natürlich auch aufs Publikum halt einzugehen. Von daher, es wird sich wahrscheinlich noch ändern. Wir können auf jeden Fall gespannt sein und gucken natürlich auch das Konzert hier von James vom Haldern Pop Festival. Also, you really...
Well, I mean, one of the things for us, say, coming here, we haven't been to Germany for a long time, because what happened in the 90s, we behaved badly a few times when we came over here, and the record company didn't like us because we were a bit punk. And so, you know, in France and in Germany, the record companies made sure that we didn't sell records because they didn't want us. And now we come back, and what we're aware is the German audiences and Austrian audiences are very intelligent, and it's it, different countries want different things. In Scotland, they want to party and go wild. And, you know, in Greece, they want the heart and they want a musical variety. And here, it's like we're still trying to work out what to play to you. Because we see that you don't get drunk like the English and the Scottish. And, you know, there's an intelligence that's going on. There's a kind of a... Another thing is I like to make a lot of eye contact, and I go in the audience and I want to sing into people's eyes. And in a lot of countries, people are freaked out by that. Whereas in Austria last night, people welcomed it. It was like no other country I've ever been to were they happy to be sung to. So it's really gauging how people are and how different everything is.
But you really can do it here. Trust me on that. You really, because maybe you know from 1990 that the people here at the Halden Festival are really music lovers. So yes. They're really here to listen to music. And even the bands who started to play at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the crowd was there. Yes. I mean, not that packed like you will see it hopefully tonight. Yes. But so the people are open for all kinds of experiences.
Yes.
Also.
Yes. 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 I mean, that's what we see. So we have to write a new set list.
Maybe do it spontaneously. You were just talking about, or Tim was talking about, that you were punk in the 1990s. So yeah. It was a different vibe like today, I imagine. How would you describe the feeling right now being in James?
We're all getting on really well. I mean, I think...
Shocked.
I know. I think nobody's more surprised than me, I think. We had lots of problems in the 90s. There was a side to us which was quite self-destructive, I think. And within the band, we had a lot of friction, and I think that people rubbed off on people in the industry around us. But I think it's kind of one of those phases that you kind of go through and you come out the other side and hopefully you're a bit wiser. I think becoming parents, I think everybody in the band's got children now, and there is a saying that that you're a child until you become a parent. I think that maybe that's true. We're enjoying what we do, you know. We're not kind of punishing ourselves and falling out and being stupid like that anymore. We're all getting on really well. Musically, I think we're probably at the best we've ever been. And we're enjoying it, you know. I think that's the fantastic thing about this job, is that it's a real privilege to do what we do. And to spoil that through being childish and silly and disruptive within the band is just ridiculous, really. It was ridiculous.
But are you still living in Manchester, or did you have to leave that city also to get a different life?
We had to leave. Yes. We were made to leave.
They didn't want you there anymore.
Oh, no. Yeah.
He's gone to the wilds of Scotland, okay. And I've gone to the wilds of California.
Oh, okay.
And different people are in different places. Mm. But Larry's still in Manchester.
Yep, he's the only one.
He's the only one. Mm-hmm.
So, but when you think about Manchester, and when you are going back, do you have good memories, or are you glad that you are not around that city anymore?
It's changed hugely, and buildings have changed, and faces have changed. I'm happy with my choices of moving. But Manchester has a big place for us. They've been amazing. You know, we were kids when we started, you know, 16-year-olds, stolen equipment, you know, playing. And it was Manchester audiences that were the first ones to acknowledge us and support us. New Order took us on tour. The Smiths took us on tour. Morrissey called us the best band in the world in 1984, you know. And so we got a lot of support from Manchester. So Manchester's very special to us. We just don't live there.
Yeah. I mean, it's always like our hometown gig. You know, we are a Manchester band and we always will be. And the people of Manchester, you know, insist on that. Whenever we do a tour in the UK, we always end up with a huge gig in Manchester. And it's always like coming home.
I'll blow my own trumpet. We were voted by the people of Manchester the best band to come out of Manchester, above the Smiths and the Stone Roses and all of them. So we're kind of held quite dear by the city.
So when we now look in the future, do you think that in 20 years, James will still be around? You're still going to play music together? Are you thinking about it and making plans?
No plans. You can't plan. Okay. We always wanted longevity. It was always that, you know... most bands do one or two good albums and burn out like a firework. And we always felt we wanted to make music of depth. And we were, even when we were having friction within the band, we were making music that we loved and were passionate about. And we were working with Brian Eno. He was our producer through the whole of the 90s. And even though he wasn't making the kind of money he was making with U2 or Coldplay, or, you know, he stuck with us because he loved what we did. He calls us his favorite band. So, you know, we were always about trying to make music that would last and that people will stumble upon and it will become a precious secret. And you could see with Leonard Cohen, you know, people neglected him for 20, 30 years. He was an old hippie. Nobody gave a damn about Leonard Cohen. And now suddenly everyone goes, oh, my God, he's a genius. It's like, wake up, you know, he was always a genius. And we want that. We are arrogant enough to want that. We don't know. I'm not putting ourselves up with Leonard Cohen, but we believe we've made music that lasts.